last week we did call to discipleship. Today, on Thanksgiving Day, call to thankfulness. Okay, call to thankfulness. Turn to Psalm 95. We'll just look up Psalm 95, verse 2. It says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And the church said, it's really empty without the kids. Okay, what happened? Amen. You know, when the church, I gotta look around. So when the church is not thankful, when the church is not thankful, the church will be spiritually stuck. Thankfulness is very important. The church will become less teachable when you're not thankful. The church will complain more, and the church will become more critical and judgmental when there's no thankfulness. When the church don't practice thankfulness, the church will lose the spiritual battle that we are going through as a church. The church will lose the battle of the mind. There will be division. When we lose thankfulness, there will be more division in the church. There will be more lies coming into the church. There will be more offense that people carry, more bondage, and more stronghold. Thanksgiving, this is important. That's why, you know, the Bible continuously challenged the church to be thankful, continuously be thankful. Because thanksgiving takes our eyes away from darkness. And when we are thankful, we start to focus on the right things. It focuses on the right things. In darkness, the devil will tempt you to focus on all the wrong things. Okay, when there's darkness, things that doesn't work, focus on things that hurt you, that will steal from you, things that will keep you in bondage. Right? In darkness, though, if the church practices thanksgiving, you start to see the right things. Okay? You are able to see and discern the truth. What God is doing in your life, what God is doing in the church, what God is doing in your family, in our members, in our home, in our community, and in the world around us. That's why thanksgiving is so powerful. In times of darkness, the enemy will come and condemn, will shame you, will accuse you in darkness. So when the enemy does that, we will get offended, we'll get bitter, and we'll get hopeless. But when the church practices thanksgiving and offers thanksgiving to the Lord moves in the church. Thanksgiving, when we are committed to thanksgiving, condemnation, shame, and offense will lose its power. When you practice that, it will lose its power. You're being condemned, there's shame. Just offer up thanksgiving. Just offer up thanksgiving. You'll see immediately that condemnation will lose its power. We'll see the Lord move. Thanksgiving opens our heart to the love of the Heavenly Father, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Thanksgiving anoints you with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, David, when you read David in his Psalms, and there are many dark times that he went through in his life. And David expressed his true feeling in the Psalms. In dark times, he will say, God, you don't seem to be helping me. You are hidden from me. I feel I am all alone. I feel depressed. I am being oppressed. There are those who are criticizing me, judging me, those who hate me. And you see that in the Psalms of David. But if you continue to read his Psalm, you don't just stop. He expressed his true feeling, but he doesn't stop there. Right, if you read a psalm, after he expresses his disappointment, as he lament with God, as he's lamenting with God, right, he will switch course. Read the Psalms. Read the psalm. He would switch course, and then he would say, but, okay? But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing of the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. He has been good to me. And so what he's saying is, okay, I'm being hit with a lot of stuff, but I am going to practice thanksgiving in the midst of darkness. Okay? I'm going to practice thanksgiving in the midst of darkness. And so today, I have 2 points for the church. What the church should be thankful for on this Thanksgiving, not day, service, on the Thanksgiving service. Number one, okay, be thankful for our relationship with God. Okay? Say to your neighbor, I am thankful for God. Okay? Psalm 100, verse 4, it says this, enter his gates, God's gates, you know, with thanksgiving. And this is the first thing that we should be thankful for as a church. How do we begin worship? With thanksgiving. It begins. You're entering the gate. How do we enter the presence of God? With thanksgiving. As a Christian, I want to remind you that we're not of this world. Okay? We're citizens in the kingdom of God. I want to remind you that you have overflowing and internal life in Christ. God so loved you. He gave his only son, Jesus. It wasn't because you and I deserved it. We stood guilty before a holy God. Our sin separated us from our Heavenly Father. Our sin brought death in every area of our life. And, this is the gospel message, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. There was provision has been made on the cross by Jesus to remove our guilt and punishment. In other words, okay, our relationship had been reconciled through Christ. We are reconciled with God. The old is gone. Okay, that's the old life. And the new is here. Sin separate us from God. And the cost of sin was so great that no human being could pay for it. Therefore, God incarnated. God became a sinless human being and paid the penalty and price for our sin. God was the only person in the universe that can pay the price for our sin by suffering and dying on the cross and resurrecting on the third day to show that Jesus has overcome sin and death. This is the gospel message. Jesus died for you and me, rescued you and me, redeemed us, saved us, and paid the penalty for our sin. And again, not because you and I deserved it, but based on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And because of that, we received the gift of eternal life, not by work, okay, not by works, but by our faith in Jesus Christ. By our faith in Jesus Christ. We were separated from God, and this is the gospel message. For those who put their faith in Jesus, we have a relationship with God. And nothing can take that away. When you hear the gospel message, our response is thanksgiving. Our response is thanksgiving. And I want us to practice thanksgiving for this relationship with God that we have as a Christian that nothing could take away. I want us to express our thanksgiving through Romans chapter 8, through the message of Romans chapter 8. I want you to meditate upon this as I read this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, this is how we express thanksgiving. Some of you are facing hardship. Some of you are maybe going through persecution, nakedness, danger or sword, darkness, spiritual attack. Some of you are being condemned. Some of you are carrying shame. How do you practice thanksgiving? You respond, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How do you respond with thanksgiving? You say, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's thanksgiving. That's thanksgiving when you're hit with condemnation and shame. Then you are living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is not just half-hearted expression. Thankfulness, when it comes to the gospel, holds on to the truth. No matter what you're going through. You see, you hold on to this truth. You're tired. You're fatigued. You don't know what to do in the future. You're being criticized, and you hold, how do we respond with thanksgiving? You hold on to the truth. Our life, my life is a gift from God. We have a gift of eternal life because of Jesus. I am completely forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. I am a new creation. The old is gone. God is in control. He is sovereign. He is gracious. God will complete the work that he is doing in me. When you are able to say that in the midst of darkness, you are practicing thanksgiving. The Lord is with me, and he will never forsake me. He will never leave me. When practicing thanksgiving, you proclaim whatever you're going through, whatever hardship, difficulty. I cannot be separated from God's love. Okay? Tell your neighbor, I cannot be separated from God's love. Second point. Okay? It's the greatest commandment. Love God and love one another. Okay? Be thankful for our relationship with one another. Okay? Be thankful for our relationship with one another. Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church in chapter 1, verse 3. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Okay? Every time I remember you. See, we're all broken. Your pastor is broken. You're broken, and we live in a broken world. And relationship with broken people in a broken world is not easy. Okay? It's not easy. It's not easy. Many get disillusioned with relationship. Okay? Many get disillusioned with relationship. And one good way, one biblical way to not get disillusioned with relationship is this: be thankful for the people in your life. Okay? Be thankful for the spiritual family that we have at Catalyst. Okay? Smile. Okay? Say to your neighbor, I am thankful for you, with a smile. Okay? Say to your brothers and sister, you bring out the best in me. All right. They believe it there. Yeah, husband and wife, come on. Okay. They bring out the best in me. Okay. See, Apostle Paul, he says, I'm thankful for every time I remember you. You got to understand the context, the circumstances. When he wrote to the church of Philippi, he was in prison. Right? He was in prison. He was facing death. He was chained to a prison guard 24 hours a day. People forgot about him. There was a lot of gossip. He had many critics. And can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? There were many people who wanted to see him dead. Yeah, who wanted to see him dead. So there was bad. He just opened his eye, bad. This is in prison. Okay? All around him, 24/7. All around him, there was bad all around him. But instead of blame, complaining, instead of getting depressed, he thought about the people in the church of Philippi in prison. And he says, okay, there's bad all around me. And he says, but I thank my God every time I remember you. Okay? Every time I remember you. And what should we remember? God gave us one another. Okay? God gave us this church, Catalyst. Why? So that we have good Thanksgiving meal, and we don't. There's many other churches that I grew up in a Korean church. They have real turkey, man. So is it the meals? No. Okay? It is, okay. Why? Why should we be thankful for this church? It's not to hurt or use one another. It is not for position in the church, for to be a deacon or elder or worship leader or an opportunity or platform to teach and preach. God did not give us Catalyst. God did not bring us together so that we can be legalistic. It is not to fight with one another. Right? There was a church in Central Jersey when I was a pastor there. There was this church. I'm not going to name the church. But in this church, it was divided into two camps. And so, first group would worship, while the second group was outside protesting that the people who are worshiping are evil, with signs. And so once their worship is over, so they will come out. And then the second group will go to the sanctuary to worship. But I heard that as the first group is coming out, second group is going to go to the sanctuary. They're screaming at each other and cursing each other. And then they go, oh, let's worship God. Okay? That's what happened in this church. I feel like if a church gets to that point, just disband the church. Right? That's what I would do. Just disband the church. But see, that's not why God gave us Catalyst. God gave us one another to overcome. God gave us one another to help each other go through difficult times. Yes, there are those in our life, in difficult time, like my mom, they make it more difficult. Okay, they make it more difficult. That's not a church. That's not a church. God gave us one another to prevail and help each other in the midst of the storm. Right? That's why we're here with one another. You know, when I was thinking about the storm, especially the last few weeks, I thought about the last days. Okay? The last day. It was a conviction that I got in one of the upper rooms. And the Bible talks about the last days, and the Bible talks about the last days, the second coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus. And the Bible says that no one knows when that day or time will be. So if any, you know, church or pastor or leader says God's going to come at October 13th, don't believe that. Huh? I don't know why I pick October 13th. You know, or something like that. I don't know. For some reason, they always choose October. I don't know why. The Bible says that there will be signs. Okay? There will be signs that will tell us when the last day is near. We don't know the day and time, but there will be different signs that will show us that it is near. And Jesus prophesied about the end time in Luke 21. And this is what he says. There will be crazy things happening. Crazy things. There will be many false prophets and teachers. And I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like more than ever, our government lies to us now. The news media lies to us. There are lies, so much lies in social media, in school and universities. There are many false prophets and teachers. Jesus says there will be great deception. There will be wars and uprisings. There will be earthquake, famine and pestilence, persecution. People will hate each other. Family will hate each other. Your hearts will be weighed down. There will be anxieties of life. People will be fearful. And I can be wrong, but I feel that's what's happening. I could be wrong. But I feel like this is what's happening. I feel that we're in the last days. And what do I mean by last days? And I don't use the word anymore for myself, last days. For myself, I use another way of saying it. And that helps me. And I'm going to say, how do I say it? This is how I say it. There is not much time. There's not much time. I believe one of the tactics of the devil, especially nowadays, is to distract the church in the last days, to waste a lot of time. Waste a lot of time on the phone, on the internet, social media, Netflix, entertainment. But also waste a lot of time feeling sorry for yourself, being a victim, negative thinking, entitlement. Some people spend so much time being bitter, so much time on their addiction, on their sin. In the last days, see? God gave us one another because in the last day, we're going to need each other. In the last days, I believe, you know, as if those signs, you'll see more and more. You know, what I believe people will pray for, and it's natural. Please, God, I pray for safety. I pray for provision. I pray for protection. You know, and And you know, some of the guys here, when I talk to them, they're talking about investing in a bunker, you know, and stocking up on, you know, ration, dry rations, and you know, clean water system that you clean. And okay, you know, you're doing this for your family. Okay, I applaud you guys if you're thinking about that. For the last days, for the last days. But there is a greater answer that God gave us for the last days. And you know what that answer is? The church. The church. I heard time and time again, you know, there's testimony. Listen to the testimony of special forces after a horrific battle. Okay? Special testimonies. There's a testimony of, you know, like a Navy SEAL. You know, they were in this battle and they come back, and what do they share? And you ask them this question: what made you fight so hard? What made you be so courageous? What made you sacrifice yourself? What made you go into, you know, machine gun fire, bullets going everywhere, and running into it, and going into those things? What gave you that courage? You know what they always say? I see this time and time again. They never said, "For my country." You know what they say? "For my fellow brother, my fellow soldier." That's what they say. Yeah, the country might be second, but above that was their relationship with one another. God gave us this church to be a spiritual family that will love each other, that will fight for one another. And I don't know, Angie, can you put up Hebrews chapter 10? Verse 24 to 25. Yeah, I memorized this in college. How does it start? Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deed. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see what? The day approaching. Is that what it says? That we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That we will not give up meeting together. That we will encourage each other. Especially all the more as you see the last days. As you see the day approaching. See, the day is approaching. We don't have much time. We need each other. The Bible says, the eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." Catalyst, I believe, is a prevailing church. See, a church is not a spectator sport. But every believer represents Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Every believer is an important part of the body of Jesus Christ. Every believer has a calling, a destiny, a purpose, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus says about the church in Matthew 16, verse 18. "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You know, some of you, you know, I grew up in the Korean church, and I got hurt a lot. I was a pastor in a Korean church as a youth pastor, college pastor, and what they call English pastor. I was hurt a lot. I was used. I was abused. I was sucked dry and spit out. What? I'm just, okay. Yeah. See, I still have some residue. And some of you too. And because of that, you know, when you think about the church, church is too weak, church is too limited. Church, there's too many barriers in the church. Church, they can't work together. They don't know how to love. There's no true fellowship. They can't reach people with the gospel. Forget about the world and other nation and missions. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And the world, you know how they see the church? The church is divided. There's a lot of politics in the church. There's a lot of control, self-righteousness, legalism, racism, and sexism in the church. My challenge to you and myself, reject the negative voice about the church. Forgive and release the past failures of the church. Embrace what Jesus says about the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Amen. Let's pray. Can you stand? Don't stay in the failure of the church. Don't stay there. Don't stay in the wilderness. But take a step over the Jordan River. And what I realized about crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, where God's people overcame the enemy and the Jericho wall fell, the city of Ai was destroyed, the Philistines, the Moabites, it was a miracle of God. God, like the Red Sea, made the flow stop so that God's people could go into the Promised Land. And that's what I'm asking for right now, God. Split the Jordan River. The barrier. A lot of us were stuck in the wilderness. But let us step into an overcoming church. Church with the power of the Holy Spirit. A prevailing church. A church where not the devil, the demonic comes to the church and to divide, to steal, to lie, but the church that you proclaim, that will go into dark places, and the darkest place, the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not overcome you. Yeah, just open your spirit, human spirit, to the Holy Spirit anointing. What I'm trying to say, it took a miracle for God's miracle for them to cross Jordan. Do that miracle in us. Some of us are maybe asking for a miracle for financial blessing or a promotion or getting into a graduate school. But today, can we just join our spirit and heart together. To Jordan River miracle crossing, Lord. To the other side. From complaining, from being stuck, to overcoming, Lord, to victories. God did the miracle, but the people could have just said, still, I'm not going to cross. No, say, I'm going to cross. I'm crossing over, Lord. I'm stepping in